ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5th चैप्टर 12। चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड रहोगुण कन्वर्सेस जड़ भरत। टेक्स्ट योगेश्वर दृश्यमानम् क्रिया फलम सद्व्यवहार मूलम् नहि अंजसा तत्व विमर्शनाय भवान अमुष्मिन् भ्रमते मनोमे। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। ओ मास्टर ऑफ योगिक पावर, यू सेड दैट फटीग रिजल्टिंग फ्रॉम मूविंग द बॉडी हियर एंड देयर is appreciated by direct perception, but actually there is no fatigue. It simply exists as a matter of formality. By such inquiries and answers, no one can come to the conclusion of the absolute truth. Because of your presentation of this statement, my mind is a little disturbed. Purport. Formal inquiries and answers about the bodily conception do not constitute knowledge of the absolute truth. Knowledge of the absolute truth is quite different from the formal understanding of bodily pains and pleasures. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna informs Arjuna that the pains and pleasures experienced in relation to the body are temporary. They come and go. One should not be disturbed by them, but should tolerate them and continue with spiritual realization. Hare Krishna. Translation once again. Today's verse is a little philosophical, so please bear if I speak too much philosophy. The whole episode we can see that how this wonderful conversation is going on between Jad Bharat and Maharaj Rahugun. We can see that how Jad Bharat in his whole life as Jad Bharat did not speak at all, had a different kind of behavior, and here he is getting a chance to speak the absolute truth to Maharaj Rahugun. So in this way we can find unique ways in which the instructions are given. I remember reading one story of a devotee who said that before becoming a devotee, he was very much sad and very much disturbed. So he went to a rock concert and he thought that bombarding his senses with so much of music might help him. But after the rock concert got over, he was still not satisfied. He was unhappy and he was shouting and yelling for some help. And immediately out of nowhere, something landed on his head and fell down. He picked up, he saw that it was Science of Self-Realization book. Actually, what had happened that some devotees had come and were trying to distribute books in their concert. And they gave a book to one boy. And this boy thought, what can I do? And he threw the book in the crowd. And this book landed on this man, who wanted to know something. He saw the book, he read the book, and joined the movement. So we can see unique ways in Krishna, which Krishna gets his devotees. Or how Krishna sends Guru. Usually in a Vedic system, a disciple would approach a Guru in his ashram for study of spiritual life. But we can see as age progresses, it's difficult. We don't have as a system where ashram is there, where bona fide Guru is there, and a person knowing all these things eagerly comes, approaches a Guru. More or less in Kali Yuga, we find people having desires but having no understanding where to find a genuine Guru. And therefore we find them very much desiring something in spiritual life and Krishna sending a Guru. Like Govind Prabhu was mentioning about the example of Varshana Maharaj. Like he wanted to know something about spiritual life. Who is God? And finally the whole thing happened and then he came to Prabhupada. So in this way we can find in ISKCON today devotees coming in a different way. Desires is there but no understanding where to find Guru. And then Krishna himself sending the Guru through a representative. In fact, many times, many of the people who are practicing Krishna consciousness didn't have a desire. And somehow the Krishna sent a guru, and through the guru, through the medium of guru, inculcated desire of becoming Krishna conscious. So we can find in this case, Maharaj Rahugun had no idea. He had no such desire to become Krishna conscious or thoughtful, or thinking, pondering. And herein, Krishna is sending him a guru in a unique way. The guru became a servant first. He was carrying his palanquin, and not only respecting guru, what to speak of respecting guru, he was actually chastising his own future guru. But later, Jadabharat became very compassionate on him, and now he is instructing him in the science of Krishna consciousness. So in this particular purport today, Srila Prabhupada mentions that just mere knowledge of the material world, the felicities of material world, the drawbacks of material world won't help one person. That's not enough. We need more understanding. We can see here, Maharaj Rahugun is asking Jadabharat this question, that you told me about how one should come out of bodily concept of life, but then this thing merely won't help a person. So he's asking, inquiring further, that how a person can be really detached from material body or material bondage. So we can see in Krishna consciousness, generally we always focus on two things. One is detachment from material world, but also we focus on more attachment to Krishna. That is more essential. Unless a person is attached to Krishna, detachment will be there for some time, but because that higher taste is not there, he might again go to the lower taste of getting attached to the material world. So today we will discuss on these two themes, that how just knowledge is not, knowledge of material world is not just essential for spiritual life, and secondly, how devotional process, devotional service is a complete process of detaching and attaching one to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there is a nice incident in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam where there is an incident about the four Kumaras approaching their father Brahmaji. Four Kumaras are interested to know something about spiritual life. So they approach Lord Brahma with a question. And it is mentioned that Lord Brahma, who is the most genius person in this whole world, in this whole creation, he gets bewildered by hearing the question. Sons are asking question to Lord Brahma, their father. Brahma hears the question, he gets bewildered. And Shri Jiva Goswami, Ridhanand Maharaj writes in the purport, that this bewilderment of Brahma is not something ordinary. He states that how, in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, at different places, Lord Brahma is glorified for his unique Vedic knowledge. Jiva Goswami quotes that the ninth chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, in the verse 32nd, Lord Krishna blesses Brahmaji with realized knowledge of Lord's actual form, qualities and activities. And then later in the 9th chapter, verse 37th, Lord ordered Brahma that you rigidly carry out my injunctions, and he affirmed that Brahmaji, you would be never bewildered in your work. And Jiva Goswami quotes again that later when Brahmaji is instructing Narad Muni, that time he is very boldly saying to Narad Muni, Narad Muni, because I have caught hold of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna with great zeal, whatever I say will never come to be false. In fact, the progress of a mind will never be deterred, and nor my senses will be degraded by attachment to material world. So we can see, on one side, Lord Krishna himself is empowering Brahmaji that he will never be bewildered. And Brahmaji, he is realizing that, and while speaking to Narad Muni, he is saying that actually because I have caught hold of the lotus feet of Krishna, I will never be bewildered. But then how we find that Brahmaji is bewildered here? So, Ridhanand Maharaj mentions that in due course of Krishna consciousness, it might happen that because we are functioning in devotional service, because we have a certain position in devotional service, we might get false pride. So therefore, here Lord Krishna wants to give a grave lesson to all of his empowered representatives, that how even though they are empowered by Krishna himself, they might also come to a condition of getting bewildered. So a simple question wherein Sanat Kumaras, the four Kumaras actually, are asking question very simple, that how to control the mind, and Brahmaji is not able to answer that question because he is bewildered because there is certain kind of false pride in him. But then Brahmaji is not an ordinary person. In the next verse, we understand Brahmaji's unique position of a great devotee. Brahmaji gets bewildered, but is not trying to find out some ways by his own strength. Immediately, he fixes his mind on Lord Krishna for help. And because Brahmaji is such an advanced devotee, and he has asked for help, immediately Lord Krishna descends. Lord Krishna descends in a unique form of Lord Hamsa, Hamsa Avatar. Lord Krishna comes as a form of Swan incarnation. And then in the purport it is mentioned that why did Lord come as a Swan incarnation? Because Brahmaji's consciousness got polluted. And because Brahmaji's consciousness got polluted, Krishna wanted to separate Brahmaji's pure consciousness from pollution. And therefore as a Swan, we have seen that Swan can easily separate milk from water. So Krishna came to separate the polluted consciousness of Brahmaji to Krishna consciousness. And then Lord as Hamsa Avatar instructs both Brahmaji and Chatushkumar. And therein, Lord mentions through various verses that whatever you ask is right, because the four Kumaras are asking a question that we are seeing that how the mind is always thinking of sense objects. Not only that, desires are there in the mind. That means sense objects are already there in the mind in the form of desires. So therefore it's so difficult. One is that the mind is attracted to sense objects, and secondly the sense objects as desires previously are already there in the mind. So therefore how we can separate both the mind and the sense objects? And then Lord Krishna through the verses explains in a purport, Nidhan Maharaj very nicely elaborates the whole thing. He says the mind, the symptoms of a mind is that a material, the mind which is conditioned, of a conditioned soul, he thinks that I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. And because he thinks that I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, what actually happens is the mind is always trying to enjoy in this material world and always trying to exploit material objects. And therefore mind is always attached to material objects. Wherever and whenever he finds some way to enjoy, so therefore he is seeking out material objects. And previously the desires are already there to enjoy. So therefore he mentions that to separate the mind from sense objects mechanically is very difficult. One cannot do so. In fact, it is mentioned in purport that the whole process of separating the two things is feasible, not feasible. It's not possible. It's very difficult. And in fact, even if a person tries to do it, one will not achieve desired result. One will fail. Just like Mayavadis. They are always trying naiti, naiti, naiti. Not this, not this, not this. So they are trying to deride material sense objects. But we find for some time they can do. Or in the eternality of time, for some more years. But we find that how impersonal is after a due course of time, because they don't have attachment to Krishna. What happens? They again come back to the material world and get interested in material objects. So temporarily they have achieved success in detaching themselves from material sense objects. But because there is no higher taste, they have come back again. Therefore it is mentioned that one has to use his intelligence, and intelligence is higher than mind. And this intelligence has to be used in twofold ways. One is, one should use the intelligence to know what is his actual position as a spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna, and what is his duty as a spirit soul. And simultaneously, one should also study what this material world is all about, how this material world is functioning, and what are the dangers of material world, so that one does not fall down. The Mayavadis are only interested in knowing what are the dangers of material world. And in fact, they become so much involved in word jugglery, many times they concoct even the very conception of what this material world is all about. Like we know that how Shankaracharya said, Brahma Satya Jagan Mithya. But that itself is false. That is not completely true. Vedanand Maharaj explains that how this conception of that the world is illusion is wrong. He said, the living entity is real, the world is real. Just like the rabbit is real and the horns sing, it is also real. But imagining that horns of a rabbit, that is illusion. Similarly, living entity is real and material world is real. But identifying of a living entity with the material world, that is illusion. So Mayavadis cannot figure out. But a devotee knows that his identification with the material world, that is illusion. But the material world itself is not illusory. It is temporary, but it's fact, it's real. And living entity himself is also real. So therefore it is mentioned that how one should use his intelligence to understand the nature of spirit soul and also inculcate knowledge of detachment. And this way, one can in due course of time able to free his mind. And the purport Vidyanand Maharaj mentions that how by the process of devotional service, this is very easy. By process of devotional service, by engaging in bhakti, by engaging in Krishna consciousness, one gets the knowledge of Krishna consciousness and simultaneously knows the dangers of material world and engages himself in serving Krishna. Because he knows the only way out from this material world is Lord Krishna. So in this way, we can see that how mere knowledge of material world won't help a practicing devotee to come out of a situation of bondage. We need sufficient attraction to Krishna consciousness, devotional service, and thereby we can come out. The second incident which I am going to speak today is about Lord Krishna instructing Uddhava about the process of devotional service in the 11th canto again. The whole scenery is set here where Lord Krishna is about to depart from this material world. And Uddhava, having seen signs, different bad omens, and knowing that Lord Krishna is going to depart, he pleads to Lord Krishna that you give me an opportunity, you give me blessings that I can depart before you. But Lord Krishna says, no, you should stay back here. You have a mission to accomplish. And tells him, what is his mission? His mission is that after I depart, you should move, travel all over the world as a mendicant and instruct people in Krishna consciousness. And especially, you should go to Badrika Ashram. Because in my stay in this material world here, on the earth planet, I gave my blessings, my audience to everyone, but I could not visit Badrika Ashram. I could not go and meet the great sages there. So on my behalf, you go there and instruct them. But Uddhava then says to Lord Krishna that I myself am in bondage of this material world. How I can relieve others? So please give the transcendental signs of Krishna consciousness to me. And then Krishna speaks the famous Uddhava Gita so that he can fully enliven Uddhava, and this Uddhava can carry this message to all the followers of Krishna later in his life. So in due course of time of his teachings, Uddhava is asking a very wonderful question to Lord Krishna. Uddhava asks that you are mentioning so many different paths in the Vedic literature, but please tell me precisely which path is the best path. He is clearing the whole scenery for a practicing devotee that there may be so many paths as one comes to Krishna consciousness. He may have knowledge of so many different institutions, but what is the best thing? In fact, Uddhava says that I already know that unalloyed devotional service is the greatest path. But I want to ask a question to you, that is it practicable for everyone? Is devotional service, can it practice? Or is it that only few people can practice? Because if devotional service can be practiced by everyone, then why you are given all these processes? If devotional service is the only thing required, why different processes are mentioned? And Lord Krishna then wonderfully mentions the whole history of the creation, of how these Vedic literatures have come about. Lord Krishna mentions that He mentions that by the influence of time, when the annihilation took place, the transcendental sound vibration of Vedic knowledge appeared to be lost. And therefore, I came back to instruct Brahmaji the science of Vedic knowledge. And Lord Krishna mentioned that Brahmaji gave this knowledge to his own son, eldest son Manu. And through Manu, this knowledge went to the great sages, seven great sages, headed by Bhrigu Muni. But however, when Bhrigu Muni and all these great sages, they spoke this knowledge to their children, who were demigods, Guyakas, Siddhas, Vidyadharas. What actually happened was, this knowledge got bifurcated. There are different paths which came out. Why? Krishna mentions here, because of different characteristics of living entities within the universe, there were great many Vedic rituals, mantras and rewards. Because of different natures of a living entity, different desires of a living entity, all these different paths came into existence. And then he mentions that how, because of the desires and natures, various philosophies came out. In fact, Lord Krishna mentions, not only theistic philosophy, even atheistic philosophy came out from this Vedic root. So one may question that how atheistic philosophy can come from Vedic root. So it is mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur here, that just like the Ganges water is pure and sweet, so one can drink Ganges water and get benefited. But on the very bank of Ganges water are poisonous trees also. And these poisonous trees are drinking the same Ganges water which is pure and sweet and giving out poisonous fruits. Similarly, some people who were crooked in behavior, crooked understanding, had some own means. They also took the same Vedic thing, but what they did? They applied it in a different way and got atheistic philosophy from Vedic root. And Krishna mentions that how such people, by going through all these philosophies, got bewildered by my illusory potency. The whole idea of Vedic knowledge was to remove one from illusion. But because that Vedic knowledge got bifurcated, because of different natures and desires of a living entity, that same very Vedic knowledge, in a different way, bewildered the living entity who sought shelter of that particular aspect of Vedic knowledge. And Krishna mentions that, therefore, in today's world, people want to be happy by various means, through Vedic literatures. Then he mentioned that how some people want to be happy, but just by following some dharma. Like there are people who are following Karma Mimamsa philosophy. That means do your duty properly. Why you need God? If you do your duty properly, then God is forced to give you results. So one way it is atheistic philosophy, where you don't depend on God. So Karma Mimamsa philosophy came that you become happy by dharma. And some of the philosophy where you can be happy by fame. If you have fame in the heavenly planets, then you don't need anything. You can be happy by sense gratification. We have samboksha samadhi. That means you can just enjoy sense gratification, and that is happiness at all. And that also has come from Vedic root. A person has done some word jugglery, taken some Vedic statement, and come with a philosophy. Someone claimed that you can be happy just by being truthful. Some claim that you can be happy by being self-controlled. Some claim that you can be happy by being peaceful. If you are self-interested, just think about your own self. You can be happy. If you have nice political influence in the world, you can be happy. If you have lot of opulences, you can be happy. If you are totally renounced, you can be happy. If you consume a lot, you can be happy. The philosophy of Charvak, just drink it. Do a lot of sacrifice, you can be happy. Do a lot of penance, you can be happy. Give a lot of charity, you can be happy. Practice a lot of vows, you can be happy. Now we can see Chaturmasi going on. Now if Chaturmasi is in Vedic literature, gives a lot of benedictions. So one might follow Chaturmasi and be attached to the material world itself. Like I was reading one place where it was mentioned that if you eat no salt, then your singing will be sweet. So person might not eat salt in the whole Chaturmasya, so that he can increase his, or he can improve his singing faculty. Or if you do this particular vrat in Chaturmasya, you will get a good progeny. So all these laws is there. I go into mentioning that one person may follow Brahmacharya for a long time with the whole idea of enjoying later. So this vow is there, where a person becomes happy through the method of vows. Then regulated duties or strict discipline. In this way, people follow different ways from the same Vedic literature and try to be happy. But Krishna mentions that even if they follow all these ways, what they are getting are temporary fruits, fruits which are temporary. And not only that, these temporary fruits will give us future unhappiness. And in fact, while enjoying a temporary fruit, a person is full of lamentation. Because what happens is, a person plans. He has a plan how to achieve an object. And then he also has a plan how to enjoy the object. And many times in material world, what happens is, we have a plan to achieve an object. And many times we don't achieve the desired object. We have to be contented with something which is lesser than that. So there is unhappiness. And whatever is available, that is also temporary. And then there's a desire to enjoy. There's a plan to enjoy that object. But that plan also is not successful. Because things don't go our way always. So there is always a lamentation, I cannot enjoy. And therefore one is always desiring to have much more happiness, much more sense objects. So therefore while enjoying also one is lamenting. So in this way Krishna is saying that even if this process might give you some fruits, they are temporary. And while enjoying them, there is lamentation. And because you enjoyed some material sense objects, future unhappiness is waiting for you. And Krishna mentions that therefore one should practice devotional service. Now Krishna comes to the point that why the process of devotional service is very important. And Krishna says, one who practices devotional service, with him I share my own happiness, Krishna says. So we can say therefore devotees can derive all kinds of happiness. In the nectar of devotion, Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī mentions that there are different kinds of happiness a person can derive. One is, one can derive happiness from the sense objects. Second, a person can derive happiness from the concept of liberation. Thirdly, a person can derive happiness from mystic siddhis. But a devotee is not interested in all these three, because he gets happiness from Krishna. Because all this happiness is temporary. Even the concept of liberation is temporary. What to speak of sense objects and mystic siddhis. A devotee is not interested because he has a higher taste. Because he knows that he is going to share which happiness? Happiness from Krishna's own side. So Krishna shares his own happiness with his devotees. So therefore, with this happiness, having a higher taste, a devotee is not interested in either moksha or sense gratification or mystic siddhi. And Krishna mentions, such a devotee who gets my happiness, shares my happiness, becomes completely pacified in the mind. In fact, he remains happy wherever he goes. The external situation in the material world does not alter his happiness. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions, just like a rich man, because of his richness, wherever he goes, he enjoys. Like for example, a rich man may go to America. And then because of his wealth, he may book a flat, book a hotel, 5-star hotel, and enjoy there. The same man might go to an African country, which is downtrodden, third world country, and everywhere there is drought. But because he has wealth, he won't be affected. He will go there and still stay in a 5-star hotel and enjoy all the comforts. Similarly, devotee, because he is satisfied in the mind, because of his sharing his happiness of Krishna consciousness, wherever he goes, he is happy. He is not sad. Then Krishna mentions that one who has fixed his consciousness on me neither wants the position of Lord Brahma or Lord Indra, nor wants an empire in this world, nor wants sovereignty in the lower planets, nor wants mystic siddhis. Krishna is confirming here that how a devotee rejects. He desires me alone. So we can see that this is devotional service. Śrī Rūpa Gosvāmī in Nectar of Devotion mentions the characteristics of devotional service. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulena krishna anushilanam bhakti rutama. That means that a devotee desires only Krishna. He doesn't want anything else. And therefore that is a vishwas a devotee has of faith. Srila Prabhupada mentions that vishwas means faith that Krishna is a well-wishing friend of us. That is a vishwas a devotee has. That a devotee depends fully on Krishna. A devotee feels that whatever happens in my life, Krishna is going to take care of me. And then Prabhupada gives an example of Draupadi. Draupadi was in the midst of a kind of a sad incident where she was about to be disrobed, but she was completely confident that Krishna is my well-wishing friend, he will take care of me. In fact, Srila Prabhupada adds a point to the purport, to the instruction of Rupa Goswami, that sometimes Vishwas also means that a devotee becomes a well-wishing friend of Krishna. And then he mentions that how, because a devotee is preaching on behalf of Krishna, Krishna, devotee becomes well-wisher of Krishna. Like Govind was quoting that he had heard from Nityananda actually, that in Sri Vaishnavism, there is a statement where they say that the Mayavadis, the atheistic, the Buddhist, they try to hide Krishna by their speech. But the Vaishnavas, by their speech, they reveal Krishna. So therefore, a preacher, he preaches on behalf of Krishna and he spreads the message of Krishna. And therefore, he actually is a well-wishing friend of Krishna. Because he wishes well of Krishna, that Krishna's message should be propagated in this world. Govind was mentioning a pastime of one sannyasi, one devotee of Krishna, who went to Jagannath Puri. And he went to Jagannath Puri, he happened to go on the day of Netrotsav. And you know that how it's so much of rush during that time. Literally you are thrown away. You just cannot stand there. And this devotee went there with eagerness to see Lord Jagannath. And he was also thrown away. So the devotee became very unhappy. And he started saying, Jagannath, what do you think of yourself? You think you are great? You are proud. You are very proud of your opulences? He was doing Nindas Stuti. Glorifying Lord Jagannath with the intent of deriding him. He was saying, Lord Jagannath, you think you are so great, but you don't know. All these people are coming here because we are preaching and therefore they are coming. If you stop preaching, no one will come to your temple. And then went away, unhappy that he could not take proper darshan of Jagannath. But then Lord Jagannath became very happy, satisfied. So when the Rath Yatra came, Lord Jagannath specifically stopped the Rath and from a sidelong glance, he gives darshan to this devotee and reciprocated with this devotee. So in this way, a devotee has a faith that one who is advanced, he can think like that, you know, I am well-wishing for Krishna. But even if a devotee is not such an advanced position, he knows that Krishna is my well-wisher. He has a vishwas. And therefore, he does not desire anything else, but he desires only Krishna. Anukulena Krishna Anushilanam. And because he desires only Krishna, Lord Krishna says, the position of such a devotee is very glorious. He says, neither Lord Brahma, neither Lord Shiva, nor even Lord Shankarshan, Krishna is saying, nor even the goddess of fortune, nor indeed my own self, are as dear to me as a devotee is dear to me. So Krishna is confirming that because of his fully depending on Krishna, a devotee becomes more dear to Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is purchased by devotee's love. So Krishna cannot be attracted by anyone because he is Atmaram. But the same devotee, same Krishna is attracted by devotional service to Krishna. Because devotional service is personified form of Srimati Radharani. And therefore through devotional service, a devotee attracts Krishna. Sripad Madhvacharya in the purport mentions that why Krishna is saying that I don't care so much for Brahmaji, Shivaji or Goddess of Fortune, but I care more for my devotees. He mentions that sometimes a gentleman, while he's going, he might see a poor person who is very helpless. And that time, if he has some money, he might give all the money to the poor person without even thinking of himself or his own children's. Because now he has felt that this poor, helpless person has become dependent on me. So he might benefit him. So in this way, a devotee, because he is dependent on Krishna, Krishna sometimes doesn't care for his own dear associates, but gives mercy to his devotees. So in this way, a devotee is dependent. So this is a sign of advanced devotee, where he totally depends on Krishna, time to time. The difference between a neophyte devotee and advanced devotee is that a neophyte devotee depends on his own strength in devotional service. That now I have chanted my rounds, 1 hour of reading, one hour of hearing. Okay, now I am completely secured. I should be happy in Krishna consciousness because I am following the process. So more or less, he depends on his own strength. But advanced devotee, he will externally practice everything, do all of his devotional service, but still depend on Krishna, because he knows this material world is a dangerous place. To function devotional service in an unnatural place, to practice devotional service in material is very unnatural, because all conditions are unfavorable here. So therefore we depend on association of devotees who make this place spiritual. So therefore it depends on Krishna time to time. Unlike a neophyte devotee, he depends on his strength. So therefore a neophyte devotee might get disturbed, especially when we hear some devotee leaving his body. We find that a person who is leaving Krishna consciousness might get disturbed, because he is that devotee, he was having such a difficult stage in his last days. So he's thinking, you know, what will happen to me? Will I be able to chant Krishna's holy name? He thinks like that because his devotional service depends on his own strength. But a devotee who is advanced will simply think, I don't worry. I completely depend on Krishna. If Krishna wants, I'll come to him. Otherwise, Krishna will definitely put me in a different, better position of life where I continue to practice Krishna consciousness. In this way, because the devotee is dependent, Krishna makes him, Krishna feels that that devotee is more dear to me than anyone else. And then Krishna reveals a very wonderful point. Krishna says, with the dust of my devotee's lotus feet, I desire to purify the material world which is situated in me. So Krishna is saying, such a devotee, I want to purify the entire world with his dust. So Krishna reveals here how much a devotee is dear to him. And it is mentioned here that Madhvacharya, Sripad Madhvacharya gives a very nice analogy, example, incident. He says that Krishna is always following his devotee wherever devotee goes. So devotee is going ahead and Krishna is following a devotee. So what actually happens is the wind blows. And the wind blows from behind, Krishna's dust from the lotus feet is carried away and put on the head of the devotee. And in this way the devotee gets purified. And therefore his dust becomes potent enough to purify the whole world. So this is the explanation Madhvacharya gives. And then he also says that one should not foolishly look for material logic in this transcendental pastime of the Lord. It is simply a question of love between Lord and devotees. One should not feel logic, you know, why this devotee is more powerful. It's a question of love between devotees and the Lord. Therefore, Lord is saying that his dust will purify the entire world. But actually, the whole idea is the purification has come through because of Lord Krishna's own dust. And then it is mentioned that when a person enjoys happiness in this way, in Krishna consciousness, material world cannot affect him. And all the detachment required is material will come to him. So we can see, we come to the point wherein we are mentioning here, with initially discussed that how mind can be controlled not just by knowing the material world, the fallacies of material world. One should also have equal practice of Krishna consciousness. And then, the practice of Krishna consciousness, the point is reached in a devotee's life here, that because he is happy in Krishna's service, because he is able to derive everything in Krishna's service, because he become attached to Krishna, he become dear to Krishna, automatically the detachment also is awakened in his life. And in this way, such a devotee is glorious. In fact, Lord Krishna again and again guarantees the whole process. Krishna, from this verse, goes to the next verse where he mentions that even if a devotee has some problem, falls in problem in material world, still I will protect him. Just like Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that I will protect my devotee, Kaunteya Pratijani, Namai Bhakta Pranashati. Or he says, Api Cheta Suduracharo Bhajante Ma Manene Bhak. He says that even if a devotee has some temporary fall downs in the spiritual life, if the devotee has unflinching devotion to me, continues, I consider him to be sadhu. So Krishna guarantees that even if some problem is there, I will protect him. We see the example of Brahmaji here. He got bewildered, but because he took shelter of Krishna, immediately Lord Krishna appeared there and gave instruction to Brahmaji and cleared his doubts. And then he mentions, lastly, that in this way a devotee purchases me, Krishna mentions. And Krishna emphatically says, neither Sankhya philosophy, practice of Sankhya philosophy, practice of mystic yoga, practice of pious work, Vedic study, and so on and so forth. Krishna is again bringing the point that you ask for so many paths, all these paths cannot control me, only pure devotional service achieved by a devotee can control me. And this way, one can, in pure devotional service, achieve Krishna consciousness and make his mind stable. In fact, in the purport, it is mentioned that how a devotee should not just feel that I am engaged in Krishna service, that's enough. Because sometimes a new devotee might engage mechanically in Krishna service. But if you want to engage, the more important is to engage mind in Krishna service. Mind, body and words. We might be preaching, we might be engaging our body in Krishna service, whole day with our service. But equally important is to think of Krishna. So therefore there is the instance of Madhurupa mentioned. Madhurupa means always absorbing our mind in Krishna's pastime, Krishna's thought, always thinking about Krishna. Why we are doing, for whom we are doing. And this way, by absorbing our mind in Krishna's service, the mind gets purified. And thus, by engaging in devotional service, one can easily detach oneself from the material world. So lastly, a brief synopsis. We mentioned initially that Lord Krishna gives his mercy to a conditioned soul in variegated ways. The Vedic tradition is how a devotee, a disciple approaches Guru in his ashram. But many times, because that system might not be there, we find that if a person has genuine desire, Krishna fulfills, Krishna supplies, Krishna sends Guru to him. In fact, sometimes, many times, people don't have a desire, still Krishna somehow makes a connection. And this way, Krishna in varied ways here, even though Maharaj Raghugun had actually externally no such desires to seek lessons, but through the medium of Guru, who was carrying the palanquin of his own disciple, later instructed him and made him Krishna conscious. And herein, Maharaj Raghugun is asking question that told me about the knowledge of material world, the mind, but we can see that mind cannot be separated from sense objects. So how should we do it? Then we saw that how Brahmaji, before answering this question of the same question of the four Kumaras, got bewildered, even though he was empowered, and he mentioned that how sometimes because of position in devotional service, a person may become falsely proud, and therefore he may get bewildered. But such a devotee, because he takes shelter of Krishna again, Krishna reveals, and Krishna takes care of him. So Lord Krishna, as Amsavatar, says that how the mind has to be sufficiently engaged, the intelligence has to be engaged in knowing the position of a spirit soul and act on that position. And also side by side, the knowledge of material world, the dangers of material world has to be there. And how the process of devotional service contains both, where one is sufficiently given knowledge of dangers of material world, and also a positive higher taste of engaging Krishna service is there. And we mentioned that how Uddhav had this question. You want to ask a doubt that how, if devotional service is the highest, why are you giving so many paths? And Krishna gives a history that how I give the one path, but because of so many desires and natures of different personalities, this Vedic path got bifurcated. But because it got bifurcated, the result was not the same. Temporary fruits, and while enjoying the fruits, there was lamentation and future unhappiness. But devotional service, one who follows actual Vedic path, such a person gets happiness, and that happiness is Krishna is sharing his own happiness. And because of Krishna sharing his own happiness, therefore a devotee can easily derive liberation, sense gratification, and even mystic siddhis. And we went on ahead, glorifying a devotee, how devotee is so dear to Krishna that he considers devotee to be as dear to him. And such a devotee only desires Krishna, that is the Vishwas. Krishna is a well-wishing friend of a devotee. In higher aspects, in advanced stage, devotee becomes well-wishing friend of Krishna. And this devotee, Krishna declares boldly that revelation, that I will purify the whole world with the dust of my devotee. And he says that I am completely in control of my devotee through the process of devotional service, and no other path can bring me under control. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments? Hare Gopinath. Anyone else? Any devotees here? Any questions?
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, the bewilderment of Lord Brahma was due to the arrangement of Krishna or due to the the conditioned soul?
It is mentioned here that even an empowered representative, because of his position, might get a false pride. So therefore he might get bewildered temporarily. But such an empowered representative is not an ordinary person like us. Because immediately he takes shelter of Krishna. Therefore his bewilderment is corrected.
Just like Arjuna and Maharaj Parikshit, exactly. It was arrangement of Krishna like that only?
I don't know, it is not mentioned here, I can't speak like that. In Arjuna's case it was mentioned that Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita through Arjuna by making him bewildered. But here in the purport is mentioned that our Brahma actually got bewildered because he was proud of his position. So I'm just stating that fact. Hare Krishna. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.